Hi guys, it's Sunday again. James here as usual. I'm with Neil.
Hi James, you all right?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all. So this week we're going to review the Burnley game, which obviously has just finished. So looking forward to it. So Neil, Burnley. Two losses on the trot now. I'm not sure where to start. So I'll hand over to you to start because you've always got some good insight.
Oh, well, thank you. But also, yeah, there's a lot to talk about, in my opinion. So just overall match, it was, compared to Southampton, it was a better game. The opponent did turn up overall. Burnley looked not very good first half. And actually, okay, I understand why they're in a relegation scrap this season. Second half, they turned it up and we just could not keep up. They were dominating us all over the pitch when it came to... The only way they didn't really dominate us that much was the strike. But again, they made that error, they made that mistake. We made the mistake of Johnny Evans made a bad error. But apart from that, is building blocks, we're working from it, and we're going to have a good season still. Bear in mind that Chelsea have lost, Manchester City have drew, Liverpool are too far gone, so we're still in a good position. I don't think we need to worry too much, but I think you were going to say something about fatigue.
Yeah, so we said the first half of the season was absolutely amazing. We were second, semi-final of the cup, which we're still in. I think we'll beat Villa. FA Cup still going well. So I think so far we've had an amazing season. I think the first half of the season we played every game at 120%. And that's now starting to catch up with certain players. We've seen Chilwell's been out of the game for the last month. He looks tired. We already spoke about the last few weeks around Tielemans. He's looked tired the last few weeks as well. And a lot of them are starting to look tired. Vardy did well. He had a break, which seemed to have come back a bit revitalised, not scoring as much as he was. But I think overall, a lot of them are just tired. And I think January, I'm quite surprised that we've not brought anyone in so far to cover.
Yeah, I think one of the places that we really need covering, I think one person I'll come on in a bit is Jared Bowen, who I know you want to talk about. But a centre back. So again, Benkovic wasn't even in the squad this week, which is a bit of a shame to be honest. But I don't think he was going to come on anyway because Morgan was there. But the idea was
just the Benkovic thing. I've read a few things today that he's off to Derby.
Yeah, he wants to go off to Derby, but they need to replace him. Yeah, they want to go to Derby.
If he's going, are we now saying that he's just not good enough? Because he's been in the reserves, he's been playing for the under-23s for a few months now. So has he got to the stage now with trying to offload him, or does he need that first-team opportunities?
Well, I think he's one for the future, just like Soyuncu was. Because Soyuncu and Evans, this game wasn't great, but they're playing really well together.
Yeah,
Benkovic isn't going to come in. And why would you change that back line? The back two central defenders. That's the issue. Yeah. So he can't get into that squad. Even Morgan can't get into that squad.
Yeah.
So you've got to keep him with the team and train him. But the reason why they want to send him out on loan, in my opinion, get him to Derby, get him some game time, then we can make a decision. Are we going to keep this guy? Because if we're in the Champions League, we're going to need squad rotation. We're going to see if we're going to be the player that we know he can be. So that's the reason why I think that they're getting rid of him on loan, just so they can see what he's capable of. If not, we'll get another centre-back in the window. And then we'll loan in another centre-back. But I can't see the point in that. And I can't really think of another centre-back that will want to come to a team that is in the top four and just sit on the bench. So that's my only issue at the moment. I think one thing that I've just wrote down in my notes as well is the distribution out back at times today. It was an issue against Southampton. It was better today, but at times when Burnley all decided to press us, we didn't know what we were doing. We just kind of passed it back and go, we're not sure what we're doing. Pass it. And I remember Soyuncu did not a good pass back to Schmeichel. And instead of just going, right, I don't know what I'm doing with this and hitting it long, he created an opportunity where he put Fuchs in a lot of trouble when somebody was closing him in. That was one point where I was like, oh, this is, come on, guys, we need to sort this out. Again, fortunately, that didn't happen too many times throughout the game.
Yeah.
But overall, I think, it was brilliant. It was brilliant performance by Burnley second half to really come back into the game from 1-0 down. And the distribution from Schmeichel and from the back, keep playing out for the back. It just seems to be that Rodgers isn't changing it. And at times we were just hoofing the ball and not really doing anything with it. So I don't know if you've got an opinion on that, because we definitely spoke about playing it out the back from last week.
Yeah, I think, as I said to you before we started talking offline, is that we miss Ndidi. He seems to be, I know when you see him play, you're like, oh, he's amazing. But when he's not there, you miss, he's that connection between the defence and midfield. He's the one that will go and get the ball off the back four and pass it forward to Maddison, Pratt when he's playing, or Tielemans. He's that link between. And he's also that man that sits in front of the defence and gives that defence confidence. When he's not playing, they do not look that confident at the back. But when he's there, they know that he will mop everything up. He'll be there if needs be, and he's that extra cover. And I think now he's injured and not playing, it kind of shows how much of a big gap he should be when he's there. And I think we went through the same thing when Kante went.
I was just about to mention that, yeah.
You see the massive gap that they leave when they go. And I think Ndidi is injured and he's not there. And I think that gap is too big for the way we currently play.
Yeah, I agree. That's the same thing we said when Kante left. There's going to be a big hole in the middle. And what you realised, Mendy did one job and Pratt did another job. Both, I think, had decent enough performances today. Yeah. But they were like one Ndidi together. They were both playing, like, Ndidi makes up that two players that we thought Kante that Kante made up. So it's great to see him. Again, if he's injured, there's nothing we can do. And I've seen the Arsenal rumour to talk about getting one of our players in the summer, but we'll see about what happens there. But that's definitely a big punch in the gut for us. And we didn't realise how much we missed him until we started playing. And and again, we were missing Chaudhry again. He's not been looking great, but I think Mendy came in and did a decent job for somebody that's quite small. I think he's about 5'7".
Yeah.
Coming to a team where Burnley are big, stocky, 4-4-2, getting your face, old English team. We knew it was going to be a tip of a challenge. So I think Mendy did a decent job, bearing in mind he's only played two games this season in the Premier League. So I think that's great.
Yeah, totally agree. So let's have a look at the stats of the game then, Neil. So looking at the key stats, Neil, obviously we lost 2-1. They had 8 shots. We had 18 shots. That's a bit high. They had 5 on target, whereas we had 8 on target. Possession, we had more possession, 56 compared to their 44. Our pass completion rate was at 79, whereas last week when we lost to Southampton, it was low 70s, so that's a big improvement. And theirs was 73, where corners, we got 5 and they got 4. So what do you think of them stats, Neil? Anything to add?
Well, one of the main things is that I know we've got more corners, but being Burnley, they've had 4 corners. That's essentially 4 clear-cut chances for them. I think a stat that you sent me earlier regarding clear-cut chances in the attack, we had 3 and they had 0. So you just can't let them win corners, because it used to be another team that played 4-4-2, very direct, used to be a West Brom under Tony Pulis. And this seems like a similar thing where, again, Johnny Evans was in that team. He knows how to defend against these big players, and they didn't. But again, they deserve that goal, because it was coming. They kept attacking us from them corners. The ball went in, and it was they played it well and they scored. But overall, the fact that they had 0 clear-cut chances from open play and we've still conceded 2 shows a bit how much that we're struggling a bit defensively. And that, again, from what you're saying earlier, I think is down to Ndidi. Again, yes, Johnny Evans made a bit of a calamity, and he's not really made one since he's come into the club, so we can leave that. But again, they deserve that. From the effort they put in, from the fact that they were tackling our players, winning the ball back, and just beating us in every opportunity, I think, it was brilliant. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly that. I thought their first goal, I thought a lot of their corners, they had 4 corners, they were always aiming for the back post. And they had 3 or 4 jumping against Ricardo, and I thought, oh, he's one of the smallest blokes on the pitch. And they've got strong, big, tall defenders that were doing that. And their first goal was exactly that, a header back across. Schmeichel couldn't keep it out. Chris Wood always scores against us.
Yeah, former players.
Yeah, they always do. Their second goal, ball was whipped in. Evans couldn't clear it enough, straight to their player. And then it went in off Fuchs, but I think it had gone in if Fuchs went there anyway. Seemed a clear-cut shot, if I'm honest. So looking at the stats, we had 8 on target. For someone who, before probably Christmas, we were everything we were touching, we were scoring. now we're struggling to score as well. I know we're not defending the best, but I think we're also struggling to score as well. Good to see Barnes on the score sheet. He's been missing in the last few weeks, although he's been playing. He seems to be drifting in and out of games. Good to see him on the score sheet. But then we have a penalty. How can you miss a penalty? Penalties we should be burying. I will say one thing, though. Nick Pope.
Yes.
Talk of him being England's number one. Totally agree. He had an amazing game today. Dealt with everything that he was given. Yes, we scored, but a lot of the time there was a shot from Barnes he saved, one from Vardy that he saved. There's a few that kept him in the game which could have changed it. But that penalty, as soon as he saved that, I think that was the turning point in the game.
Yes, for sure. I agree with that. And just going back to Nick Pope, I think we do have to give him credit. And as you probably see from the stats below, I've not given a man of the match. Not because we don't deserve it. It's just because Nick Pope deserves it more than any of our players. Sometimes I normally give man of the matches to a few players. Like last week, I did give it to Dennis Pratt. Oh, again, had a brilliant game, but we'll get onto later. But overall, because of the saves that he made, again, the Pratt save was a fantastic save. The fact that he saved a penalty and he kept them in the game and then they scored, it was down to him. So credit to Burnley and credit to Nick Pope, who, again, I think deserves man of the match. Because we played well, but Burnley just turned it up another level. And as I was saying earlier, we just couldn't keep up. So again, it's just... I feel like in the first half, it was a different performance to the second half. We closed in packs. We worked together as a team, which it didn't look like against Southampton. It looked disjointed and the team wasn't playing well together. And I've just put down here, yeah, the teamwork was very key in the first half. And it just, yeah, when Burnley took it up a gear, the team didn't band together and go, right, we're going to raise our levels and attack them a little bit more. And that was the main issue. That's the reason why Burnley won, as well as just putting in brilliant performances, because they weren't passes off the park, but they were challenging us. And from the physicality that they've got, they were just strengthening us off the park. And we deserve to lose that game, unfortunately. But I think we're on this bad run, and we can all admit that we're on a bit of a bad run at the moment. And yes, but you look at the team around us. Manchester City this week have just drew. Chelsea have just lost. We are Liverpool have gone. They've won the league. I've got friends at work. They're already planning to go down for the parade already because the ticket prices and travel prices are going through the roof. So, seeing within this position, other teams are not doing as well. There's still a big points difference. So, it's not hands on our heads. Let's not mention Claude Puel. Let's just get on with it. And we will recover from this blip. I know we can. I don't know if you've got anything to add to that.
I think so. I think it's a blip. I think they're tired. I think no competition for certain places causes us problems as well, because there's no, if you have a bad game, it doesn't really matter because there's no one going to come in and steal your place. And we've got no one of that much quality that can come on and do that. If you look at the Man Cities that you just mentioned, look at their bench. They're all world-class players that most teams would love to have. Whereas we struggle bench-wise and squad-wise. And I think January we need to bring people in. And for the Champions League in the summer, I think we'll finish second or third, if I'm being honest. I think Man City will probably finish second. If we finish third, Champions League football, which everyone will love, but I think we need to have that squad. Because last time I was in the Champions League, it was amazing. Every single game was great, went to Europe. Everyone loved it. But the thing that disappointed me is that's all we concentrated on that year. I want to be like the Man Cities and the Liverpools of this world, who can concentrate on everything. They can go for the league, they can go for the Champions League, they can go for the Cups and be able to do that. But you need a squad big enough to do that. And I think that's where we're building. But it's going to take time. But I think good times ahead. And I think this is just a blip. I don't think the wheels have totally fallen off. It's only a few games. Once they get energy back and start fighting for the ball a lot more and working as a team, then I think we'll start seeing wins again. Today was close. I could see us beating West Ham, if I'm honest.
Yep. There's one point that I'm going to pick you up on. So you mentioned that there are players that aren't going to be dropped. I don't think that's true, actually. For this year, look at, for example, this game that's just gone. Fuchs came out of the team. Fuchs went into the team and Chilwell came out. Tillemans has been dropped to the bench. Pratt has come in because he's had a decent game and he's performed well. So the manager does change things. It's not like Claude Puel, where, I know I said I wouldn't mention him, but here we go again. The issue is certain players are not, in my opinion, them two were rightfully played, Fuchs and Pratt. But looking at the physicality of the team, when we saw the team lineup, me and you both said, the wingers are going to get trashed alive. And they were.
Yeah.
Perez got bullied off the ball a little bit more. I would have definitely decided to play all Brighton, who I think was a bit wrong. This is the kind of game he would have really thrived in. And I could see him doing really well in this kind of game. I think one problem that we had this just it was, again, Ndidi. I think he ties everything up together, which is really, really good for us.
Yeah.
And we just missed him, basically. But overall, I still think it's a better performance than the Southampton game. We've had more time off, more time to reset. And overall, I think we're doing okay. So we don't need to, it's not panic stations. We're still doing well. And I think it's going to be all right.
Yep, I think you're right. And I think it's on to West Ham. I think it'd be a good game. I think, again, it'd be close. But I think West Ham are beatable. Obviously got a new manager, so they'll probably come and park the bus as most teams do. But it's still winnable. I think we've still got the players, and I've seen the style of football that we've got that can still win games. Yes, we should have won today. I mean, 8 shots on target, you score 3 of them, you're home and dry. You score the penalty, you're home and dry. It's just little things like that going against us, and I think it will come. But obviously next week we'll be back again. FA Cup weekend. So we're back on Sunday to talk about the Brentford game. Hopefully we'll see that. And we're on TV again next week. I think we're on BT Sport on Saturday lunchtime. So it's been great again, Neil. You'll be back next week as well?
Yes, we'll be back next week. That should be no problem.
Okay, and we'll speak to everyone next Sunday. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.